Guess what, Toby? It is episode
52
of the Prostitute
Dude,
Podcast.
That's awesome. We're coming up on a full lap.
Yeah. I know. We made it.
I love it.
Lap around the sun.
Like far.
Kidding.
What's on your mind this week?
I have been thinking, well, first of all, you may not know this, but I had two completely opposite internships. Okay. When I was in college. So first one at Merrill Lynch, right? Just in a local branch, just kind of learning about the stock market.
It's good. It's a solid internship.
The second one, completely different, at a lollipop factory.
What were you there?
I kid you not. I was eating lots of lollipops is what I was doing.
So jealous, big fan.
It was a local lollipop factory in Boise, Idaho. They made the Rodman pop. If you remember Dennis Rodman, he was the worm. He had a worm pop. That was their kind of claim to fame.
Man, how did I miss that?
I know. So anyways, this leads to the topic.
It's his most enviable internship at this, besides bringing it old Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, so we had defects, meaning you would put the lollipop in and it would press it around the stick. And maybe you didn't have enough of the lollipop mixture. And so
nobody wants a partial
defects.
Rodman.
Nobody wants a partial lollipop. And they had lots of defects. Like there were lollipops all over the place that were partials or they didn't print well. You could take home as many lollipops as you wanted. And I mean, I didn't have health insurance because of an internship. Yeah. So I could have got diabetes, but whatever. But what was interesting, what this made me think of recently was in knowledge work, where do defects go? Because in the lollipop factory, we had these defects and we had like bags, like hundreds of pounds of lollipops that just didn't make the cut. And so this has made me think about my day job. Where does knowledge work have defects?
Do you not have a bag next to your trash can by your feet specifically for bad ideas and defective deliverables? Chris, that's a really great question, right?
That PowerPoint sucks. Throw it in the trash. Okay.
Get off your computer. Get it out of there. Or it infects everything. What are you doing? You raise a good question. And, with a physical good, we have a very clear expectation for what that looks like. What's the template for a good idea or a good piece of knowledge?
Yeah.
What a slippery slope.
The thing that was kind of eye-opening, when you start this internship is that, and maybe the difference between a factory and typing emails all day is that, because you're moving physical product, that physical product that is defective is obvious. And if it's obvious enough, the problem is fixable.
Fair.
Be fixed.
Okay.
Whereas if you send out an email that's, has a misspelling, or if you have a PowerPoint and you continue to basically communicate in a way that's not received, that could definitely be considered a defect. But it's never seen.
Chris, it makes me wonder, you and so many folks in the world of lollipop manufacturing actually produce better products than the modern knowledge worker. And I might almost argue that by definition, we don't know what our spec is anymore. And so we kind of shuffle information.
Oh, no.
And to your point, if the spelling is correct and if the logic holds together at all, then it's hard to argue that you missed the goal, right? So in a modern computer-driven world where we get paid to be plugged into little monitors all day long, what's a good work product and where does the bad, how do you identify the bad work product to put in the bag to be taken home each night? Yikes.
Yeah.
Have you slept at all this week?
I've been sleeping up, but it is really interesting, right? In that, like, knowledge work is a lot about novelty, but novelty isn't productivity. novelty is just novelty.
Yowzer.
And so, like, you know, I think the reason why process dead has always stood out, like, kind of been this earworm that I've had, and we've talked about it for years, you and I have. But I think it's because I'm so kinesthetic. And so I learn by doing. And so oftentimes I'll be, and I might be a little bit ADHD, but like I'll be sitting in meetings and I'm like, why are we here? Like, what are we doing? Do we know who our audience is? Do we know who our customer is in this meeting? I think most of the time you could probably say you don't. Like, you're just here because we're supposed to have meetings. And if a meeting's on my calendar, I should show up.
That is how it works, right? I tell you how many mid to latter quarter career professionals I work with that do say, I have a whole series of meetings, I'm jammed up, I'm packed. And it's one thing if you're being called on to make decisions, but a lot of it, what is it that we're transforming? Input, activity, output.
Well, what's interesting is in knowledge work, so like in contrast to the lollipop factory, they had these big old bins, you know, like these big, basically pots in that which you would cook the, you know, the sugar mixture, and you would add in the flavors and do all the things, right? But you would get it, you'd basically get it hot, and then you'd put it in these kind of roller things, and the roller things would kind of turn it into a little rope, a little rope would be stamped, right? The interesting thing is like, you can't delay. You can never delay. And that delay creates the defects, right? So like there was these women that would be putting the sticks in to get it stamped. And it was really pretty awesome to watch them. They would just basically put the sticks in and they would lay the lollipops down on the dryer. But the reason I bring that up is like in knowledge work, there's no hardening of that candy.
Right.
There's no urgency to get anything done. And so it can be this perpetual meeting and clarification during the meeting, after the meeting, pre-meeting, post-meeting. Just let's just do another meeting and talk.
Yeah. Well, and so if you have anybody at the table that has at all a procrastinating bone in their body, that one brief meeting can turn into a month's worth of follow-up and nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
Even as you say that, Chris, I'm looking around my desk at the six half-finished things that I, maybe that's a unique thing, but we've talked about those moments of, you know, getting into flow and having enough clear running room to really be super productive. And there was a lot of good things that happened today, but one of them was not crossing important objectives off my list. And I started the day with two or three, and I finished the day with the same two or three plus two more. So somehow I managed to go backwards and didn't get a single finished Dennis Rodman lollipop out the door.
I know. That does remind me of like everybody in January, like, what is it? Your New Year's resolution. My New Year's resolution is to lose 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Only 25 more to go, you know, something like that. Like that's what knowledge work feels like a lot of times.
Well, Chris, I think it's an interesting thing because, you know, as Gen Xers, we were told that the path to success, and I think it was in terms of professional success and certainly not working in the heat or the cold of whatever weather you're exposed to, but it was go to school, get a good job and do good work. And the difficulty in this professional realm, unless we're providing some very clear-cut transactional service, you know, if we're in the business of banking and our job is lending, or as an attorney, we're producing a specific deliverable for a client, oftentimes it's hard to see what the transactional start and stop of something is, especially when we're inside of a big organization. You know, we could toil away for weeks or months or years and not see the completion of the whole cycle necessarily. So,
Well, there's a bit of a lulling to sleep, right? Because you can have so much waste with the knowledge work that, you know, everybody productive, but not effective. Where it's like the real defect of knowledge work is just doing useless work. And it's so hard to know, you know, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, just being aligned oftentimes. Or misaligned, like we talked about communication and how that's kind of like, hey, we need this thing. And you're like, is that really what you need? Or are you looking for something deeper? Kind of doing that 5 why analysis. And I think, you know, because we're social and because we're territorial and communal beings, we can get away with that waste because of the communities, which are the our places of employment. But you can't do that on a factory because you've got money that goes into raw materials, and that raw materials has to, you know, turn into a sucker and get a wrapper on it.
It is interesting. And I think you make a distinction too between knowledge work that is directly facing a customer where it's the product versus knowledge work inside of a really complex organism that we call a corporation, right? And the more steps removed we are from servicing a customer, the boundaries become, and the less clear the actual purpose of the work becomes, or at least is at risk of becoming less clear.
Yeah. And one of the things we've talked about a lot is like, what's the output? And I think a lot of times we confuse outcome, what actually happened, with the never-ending process of meetings and emails and PowerPoints.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the things we've done in the past was a cash flow calculator, which was like, look, if you just broke your finances out and you did a prediction every month, if we simply did one thing in business is we just analyze people's ability to predict and be accurate, we would find oftentimes we are promoting the confident inexperienced, right? Or the confident storytellers, and maybe not necessarily the people that are more accurate. Yeah.
Well, Chris, so the idea of what is defective knowledge work, I like this topic that we've talked through it. There's some examples where it doesn't produce an outcome. That feels like wasted time, but maybe there's other elements. Like, how do listeners approach this idea of managing to lower defects? How do we Six Sigma the defects out of knowledge work?
I think we have to be really curious and inquisitive, right? So like the funny thing is you're talking about defects, and I instantly went to really nice PowerPoints that have no basis in reality, right? Where you get crops or you get resources based on that pretty output, but really from a system standpoint, that could be a defect because you're actually not helping the system because you're rewarding, you're sending resources to areas that either aren't proven or aren't questioned or, you know, whatever.
Well, and how many hours go into beautifying a PowerPoint concept for an audience of 10 or less? I know that but that's the norm. That's what was expected. Not a productive use of time and energy. But the prettier it is, it feels, right? The more qualified the opinion appears.
Well, the thing is, it just works. That's the problem, right? Like, it's almost like it's our internal storytelling human defect of like, we'll believe a story because we have to, because our world's so complex. You get it.
If you have props, what was that? Much more believable. Chris, super 100%. Interesting. This idea of defects, I think we could all take a minute to ask ourselves, like, what defects am I living with that absorb my attention, my energy, or simply clutter the landscape of important things? So sometimes it's just bad requests, right?
Oh, the urgent,
absolutely,
over the important. If you can do Excel or you can, you know, create a Power BI report, the urgent over the important is just man, that hits me good because I've been in those roles or I've seen people get destroyed by like, oh, you have another flavor of the month report. You're like, well, is it accurate? And you're like, well,
it's impossible
really sure
to know, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. How many times are we going to use this? Oh, just this one time. It's like, well, you're actually never going to improve that report if you're just going to view it one time. Cause I, you know, it's funny. I had a good friend that was just phenomenal at creating, just stitching data together and creating reports. And you know, he was telling me one time where he delivered the report. His report kind of got some legs within the organization, and it kind of led to two camps of thought that were completely different. That would definitely
same
be
same data supporting two contrary arguments.
Two contrary opinions. And he's like, oh my gosh,
how did we get here?
Yeah, that would be a defect.
Well, Chris, I think even as we talk this through, it just makes me think we have the international standards for everything under the sun, you know, from ball bearings to grease viscosity to actual process work. Fundamentally, I guess, goes back to this, to define a defect, we have to know what the standard is. And I think today's conversation raises that question of, if you don't know what good is like, if you don't know what the use of the output is, then there's probably more inquiry, you know, that's necessary before you just plunge in.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is, like, I would say is it simply repeatable? Yeah. And if it's not repeatable and you're not doing a one-off analysis, then you probably are, there's probably a land of defects in your email, in your, you know, Excel folders, and your Power BI reports. If it, you're living with defects, or and actually probably causing defects.
I want more Dennis Rodman lollipops.
I mean, there you go. I'll have to look them up and send you, see if anybody's selling them on eBay. But we made it through a year, my
friend. Happy year.
This is
your conversations. Thank you for that. Do another year of these.
See you next week. All right.
Yeah.
Bye.